Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5,
nope.
Righteous judgment of the Most High, who will
yep.
render unto every man according to his
nope.
deeds, to them who by patience continue
yep.
in some well-doing seek,
nope.
for glory and honor and immorality,
yep.
eternal life. But unto them that are
nope.
contentious and do not obey the
yep.
truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Oh, Frank Lucas.
Yep. You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back.
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell us?
Nope.
We gon' expose them.
Yep.
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Never gonna win.
Nope.
Trying to make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sinning.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trotting? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back.
No, no, no.
Forward to the kingdom.
Is it cool to be gay?
Nope.
Did he make us straight?
Yep.
Is the Most High plan?
Nope.
You gon' learn today?
Yep.
Do you understand grace?
Nope.
Remember Noah's day?
Yep.
Did more than 8 people live?
Nope.
Will it be the same way?
Yep.
Is a broad way to heaven?
Nope.
Is a broad way to hell?
Yep.
You choosing death over life?
Nope.
You gon' change your life?
Yep.
Do you love these streets?
Nope.
Do you see police?
Yep.
Wanna get shot down?
Nope.
You remember Mike Brown?
Yep.
You ever read your Bible?
Nope.
You wanna know your job?
Yep.
You know you more than a slave?
Nope.
Don't you wanna be saved?
Yep.
You ever been baptized?
Nope.
Wanna get in that water?
Yep.
Ever confess your sins?
Nope.
Ready to lift your hands?
Yep.
Amen.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trotting? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back.
No, no, no.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The devil won't win.
No, no, no.
Leave all that sinning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm never going back.
No, no, no.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The devil won't win.
No, no, no.
Leave all that sinning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whose life to choose from? You have to choose one. Who you gonna choose the most? I are Satan.
To choose
whose light to choose from. You got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose? Should I live a simple life?
Nope.
Should I repent and be baptized?
Yep.
Will Amalek ever be nice?
Nope.
Was our Savior crucified?
Yep.
Does this world love the Most High?
Nope.
Is the wicked gonna burn?
Yep.
Will he fall with forever?
Nope.
Will we ever get our turn?
Yep.
Like to choose from, you got to choose one. Who you gonna choose the most? I are Satan.
To choose,
whose side to choose from, you got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose?
Got to choose.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Shalom, good evening. Welcome once again to another episode of SOC Presents Bible Talk. My name is Mashaba. I'm one of the teachers here. Teachers here with the ISBHPK, that's the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. In a nutshell, Hebrew Israelites, right? Here to help awaken the 12 lost tribes of the nation of Israel that are scattered throughout North, Central, South America, the Caribbean islands, that those people who came over on the cargo slave ships, and those people that were conquered here in the Americas with the conquest of the Americas or the colonizing of North, Central, South America, that the natives that were here, you actually consist, or if you're a descendant of one of them, you're one of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And that we're at a point history, a very historical point in history right now, where the nation of Israel is now awakening and coming back to the Father, coming back to the Most High after a long period of time. And this has never happened before in history. This is the whole reason why whom the world knows as Jesus Christ, or in the Hebrew language that we speak, the Aramaic Hebrew that we speak, Yahweh Shai, that was the whole sole reason that he died. So that after we finished our punishment for breaking the law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High, of God, that was handed to us by his servant Moses upon the Mount Sinai through our 40-year journey in the wilderness, that there was going to be certain consequences and curses that was going to befall us as a nation for not adhering and obeying the laws, statutes, and commandments of the Lord, our God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And that about these punishments that we would have to endure, and this chastisement that we have to go through, at the end of this chastisement, that, again, our Lord and Savior, our King, our brother, our Savior, again, whom the world calls Jesus Christ, that he would come and redeem us from the hand of our enemies. Okay, I got the brother Ka here. If you could read for me real quick, Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Just to start to play off real quick. Yeah, Luke chapter 1, verse 68.
All right. Blessed be the Most High. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people.
Keep reading.
Verse 69. He has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began.
The prophets of the Lord have been around since the world began. I mean, even the Lord, when he prophesied with the punishment of Adam and Eve coming out of the garden, that was promised that she would have a seed, she would have a son, and that son would smash the head of the serpent. And we understand, again, that seed that was prophesied from the very beginning was talking about Christ coming to redeem God's people, coming to redeem his people. At the time called Adamites, today they're called Israelites. It was the prophets have been since the world began prophesying about the return, the salvation, the punishment, but also the redemption of the children of Israel, of God's chosen people. It says, of his holy prophets since the world began, go ahead.
71, that we should be saved from our enemies.
And this has been spoken since by all the holy prophets since the world began. Since the world began, that we, God's chosen people, should be saved from our enemies. And we do a Bible study, a Bible search, and you're dealing with the topic of salvation. Never did God just save an individual. That was never the case. Whenever you read about the Old Testament, read through the Old Testament, the scriptures, the history of the people of the Bible, that whenever it talks about or is dealing with the issue of salvation, it was always in reference to God saving the nation of Israel. It was never about an individual. It was never about just saving one individual or his family and one family, and that was it. That whenever you're dealing with the topic of salvation, when you read through the whole Bible, this topic of salvation is always referring to the children of Israel being saved from our enemies. Now, why would we have to be saved from our enemies? Because we would sin against the Lord our God. Our whole nation would sin against the Father. And then the Father would punish the whole entire nation with captivity. And we've been in many captivities. Many captivities have the Israelites been involved with. Not because a few were good, a few were bad, so God only got the bad ones. God got the whole nation. He punished the whole nation because of our disobedience, because of our not adhering to his standards, his morals, his laws, his mindset. And because of that, again, we had to be punished. But since that very beginning, the Lord's always sent his prophets to let Israel know what we need to do to be redeemed from our enemies, to be saved from our enemies, to be taken back to the land that was promised to us, the land of milk and honey, the land of Israel. Not over here paying a mortgage, not over here paying property taxes, not over here drinking polluted water, breathing polluted air, eating GMO foods, even though they claim to be organic. That was never the case. That whenever we were saved, we were put back in the land of our inheritance, the land that was promised and given to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob upon the Exodus, upon the what's the word I'm looking for? I just use Exodus. Upon the Exodus of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, when the black Egyptians had the black Israelites in captivity. So this is not just a black thing, that just because you're black, you're going to be saved. No, you have to be of the seed of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Okay? Finish up for me, Kyle.
71.
Mm-hmm.
And from the hand of all that hate us.
And from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us. Go ahead.
Verse 72. To perform the mercy promised to our
fathers. To perform the mercy that was promised to our fathers. Literally our fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Go ahead.
And to remember his holy covenant.
And to remember his holy covenant, that the descendants of Abraham, then going on to Isaac, and then on to Jacob and his 12 sons, that the covenants of God were all given to the children of Israel. Real quick, let me get Romans chapter 9 and start at verse 1. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. We're going to start at verse 1. Romans chapter 9, and we're going to start at verse 1. And tonight is going to be a fairly quick class. So we did get started tonight at 8 p.m. Albuquerque time here. It's only going to be about an hour. All right? It's only going to be about an hour so we can get in and get out. But I told everybody that I wanted to go ahead and hit a class up tonight since it's been several days since we've had a class. So I want to make sure that we hit this class up tonight. Here goes the prince himself, the prince, the name, the legend. I was going to say myth, but, I mean, you're living. You're here. The legend. Forget Will Smith. We have Shar Shum Yah. All right, so Romans chapter 9, read verse 1, and we'll read down.
Romans chapter 9, verse 1. The truth is Yahweh.
Yahweh. And let's do it. For our new listeners that might be listening, whether through the, maybe not live right now because I didn't send out to everybody, but for people who might catch the archive, catch the show on archive, let's go ahead and just read what's there. I know you're used to doing the Hebrew way and whatever, but we have new listeners that just might not really have that concept yet. So just read what's there.
I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost.
And this is Paul who was writing this to the brothers and sisters, the Israelites that were in Rome, that even during the time of Paul, you had a lot of liars. You had a lot of people that were being very deceptive during that time. You had a lot of, even during the time of Christ, you had a lot of false prophets, a lot of false teachers that were leading our people astray, even among our own people that were leading our people astray. So Paul here is saying, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. You have a comment, question?
I'm hungry, everything in English. I just want to know, what does the Holy Ghost
mean? Maybe the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, sorry, the Holy Spirit. Oh, you just call Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no, like, how
we
say, God, Yahweh, Christ,
Yahweh. Now, we just say Holy Spirit. We just keep it there. Until people start coming to class and learning some Hebrew, it would be Kodash Racha, if we're going to say that in the Holy Tongue. Racha. Please, we're going to read down through verse 5.
Verse 2, that I have great heaviness. A continual sorrow in my heart. 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ.
So then Paul is saying that he felt bad for what his people were going through, and he also wished that he had taken on the curses from Christ. Go ahead, that he could stand in that position to help his people, the same way Christ died to help his people. Go ahead.
For my brother, middle of 3. From Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh.
He's telling you who he's praying for. His brethren, his kinsmen, according to his family. Just like if you're from the Midwest, you might be familiar with the term kinfolk or kin, what have you. Well, kin, bro, exactly. It's the same thing. It's the same reference. Talking to his family, my kin, according to the flesh. Go ahead. What are we going to say, Carl? What are we going to say?
I find it funny because you mentioned save one person or one family, save the nation. It's also on the opposite spectrum of whole nation don't get saved because one person puts all the suffering on himself. Was the only person he allowed that for was the Al-Shai.
True.
So basically it's spread around. But so he only saves the whole nation, he doesn't save one person. At the same time, one family or one person, being the only one in the Bible and performing it correctly, isn't going to get the whole nation saved. It takes a certain amount of people in the nation for the most part to be like, I'm going to go ahead and bless you guys.
Exactly. True statement. Go ahead.
Verse 4. Who are Israelites?
Again, his kinsmen are Israelites. Go ahead.
Who pertaineth? The adoption.
And the word pertain means belongs. So to the Israelite belongs the adoption. What was the adoption? We know that from Exodus. We're not going to go there right now, but from Exodus 4:22, God claims Israel as his son. From Jeremiah 31:10, again, God says he's a father to Israel. Joel 2:27, he's a father to Israel and none else. But because of our sins, because of our we broke God's covenant. God said, if you keep my laws, I will be your God and you shall be my people. God didn't break his covenant, but we did. We stopped keeping his laws. So in so doing, God rejected us, right? In so doing, God rejected us. But Christ, when he died, he adopted the nation of Israel to himself. That's why now we have to, in John 14:6, Christ says that no man, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now we had to go through Christ. We had to follow his example. We had to be like him. If we're going to make it to the Father. Whereas before Christ died, we go to a high priest, offer up blood sacrifices, offer up animal sacrifices, and that was supposed to have absolved us from our sins. That was supposed to have cleansed us from our sins. But it didn't cleanse us. It didn't cleanse our minds. That we got really calloused and really numb to the blood sacrifices. That it didn't register our conscience. That now an innocent animal, a sheep, a dove, a bullock, a ram, a goat. It didn't get to our conscience, to our heart, that, wow, because of my choices, because of what I decided to do, an innocent animal had to shed his blood and die. And then I had to be washed in that animal's blood. That blood, I had to be drenched in that blood. In order to better be cleansed, in order to start over in the eyes of the Father. And it just got to the point where we really just got callous. It didn't really mean anything. That we kept sinning, kept killing animals to no avail. So the Father had Christ die for us, so now an innocent man had to die because of our choices. An innocent man had to die because of our decisions, because of our mindset, because of how we look at things. Well, now that is supposed to give us a conscience. And a man can only die once. Christ can only die once. Whereas if you got 1,000 sheep, that's 998 sins. Read that in 998 because you had to have a male and female to keep breeding, so you keep having more sheep, so you can keep sinning. Christ can only die once. So now that's supposed to mark our conscience that, damn, this innocent man had to die because of my decisions, because of my choices, because of my mindset. So please, reading on. So it says, the adoption belongs to the Israelites. Go ahead.
Verse 4, and the glory.
And the glory of God belongs to who? The Israelites. Go ahead. And all the covenants, from the covenant of the rainbow that was given to Noah, to the covenant of circumcision given to Abraham, to the covenant of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, that all of God's covenants belong to the Israelites. Go ahead.
And the giving of the law.
And God only gave his law to the Israelites. He didn't give his law to everybody. Go ahead.
And the servant of God.
And with that, if God only gave his laws to the Israelites, that means the only ones that can serve God the way God wants to be served are the Israelites. Go ahead.
And the promises.
And all of God's promises belong to the Israelites. Go ahead.
Verse 5. Whose are the fathers? And of whom has concerning the flesh Christ came?
Again, and the only flesh Christ died and came for is that of the Israelites. Let's back that up real quick. Let's go to Matthew 1:21. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. We're going to the book of Matthew, New Testament, chapter 1 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21.
Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son.
Now, this is the angel Gabriel speaking to Joseph about his impregnated wife, Mary. And Mary was impregnated by her husband, Joseph. This is why the angel Gabriel came and spoke to him. Right? And that's a whole breakdown we need to go into and bring out. But this was the angel Gabriel speaking to Joseph about his wife that he impregnated named Mary. Go ahead.
He shall bring forth the son.
And she, talking about Mary. Mary's going to have a son. Go ahead.
And thou shalt call his name Jesus.
And his name in Greek is going to be Jesus. Or in Hebrew, in English, it's going to be Jesus. If that was said in Spanish, it'd be Jesus. If it was going to be said in French, it'd be Jesse. That this child's name is going to be Jesus. In other words, Jesus just means Savior. But now the angel's going to explain, why is this baby going to be named Savior? Go ahead.
For he shall save his people from their sins.
Because this baby is going to save his people from their sins. And again, we know that whenever the Israelites sinned, we would always go in captivity. So Jesus Christ, and the word Christ means anointed, right? So when you say Jesus Christ, you're saying the anointed Savior, the chosen Savior. When you go into the Hebrew studies, which we're definitely going to be getting into with that tonight, the word Jesus, Joshua, Hosea, Oshea, in Hebrew, they all mean the same thing. So Jesus was not the first person named that name. One of the generals that led us into the promised land after our 40 years in the wilderness, his name was Joshua, the son of Nun. Matter of fact, a so-called Puerto Rican. He'd be called a so-called Puerto Rican today from the tribe of Ephraim. That his name, the way you would say Joshua in Hebrew, would be Yahweh Shai. All right? It's the same word, same meaning. But because we don't study and really don't understand what's going on, we think that Jesus that this Jesus here was the first Jesus ever born ever. But even if you go through a lot of the Latin community, you find a lot of Jesuses. You find a lot of Hoseas. You find a lot of Joshuas. Why? And all those names mean the same thing. So just because you say the name Jesus doesn't mean that now you're going to be endued with some magical power or some magical salvation. It's not talking about the name. It's talking about doing things and doing the actions that this man had. But this baby is going to be named Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, real quick, let's get who his people are.
Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah.
Now, the word evident means it's a fact. For it is evident, it's a fact that our Lord sprang out of Judah. Now, who is our Lord? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, we're reading the New Testament, that it is evident, it's a fact that Jesus Christ came out of Judah. Now, let's keep reading what Judah is. Go ahead.
Of which tribe? Moses faith nothing concerning priesthood.
So it's evident that Christ came out of the tribe of Judah. But if you don't know the Bible, then there's no way you would understand this. You might think that Jesus Christ is a Roman Catholic. You might think Jesus Christ is a Baptist. You might think Jesus Christ is a Methodist. You might think Jesus Christ is a Seventh-day Adventist. You might think Jesus Christ is a Holy Roller. You might think Jesus Christ is non-denominational. You might think Jesus Christ is just Protestant. But if you understood the Bible, you would know that Jesus Christ came out of the tribe of Judah, of the nation of Israel. That's who his people are. And if you don't understand these things, but now why is it that this is such a mystery? Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Colossians. Not Galatians, but Colossians. Yes, sir. Colossians chapter 1, verse, we're going to start verse 25. We're going to start verse 25.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of the Most High, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God.
Let's go. Yeah, so let's read again.
Verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister.
So it tells you that God was going to make ministers. Right? Not a theological school, not a school of divinity, not an online course you might have took at wherever. It says that God makes his ministers. Right? So Paul was made a minister according to the dispensation of God, not some accredited school. I don't know who gave you your credit that you know God or religion or what have you. But God makes his ministers, okay? So Paul says, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, according to what God hands out. Read.
Which is given to me for you.
Go ahead.
To fulfill the word of God.
To fulfill the word of God. Go ahead.
Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations.
It says there's a mystery that's been hid for ages and for generations. And as I was meditating over this a little bit earlier today and in preparing for this class, that I don't know if it's really appreciated just how special it is for us to know at this day and age that we're the Hebrew Israelites. As I'm thinking about my sons over here, my nephews happen to be second generation Israelites. Whereas, obviously, their fathers and myself, we were first-generation Israelites. As a matter of fact, we were the first people in Albuquerque to ever call ourselves Israelites. To have our children actually born with the knowledge that they're Israelites, the impact of that is really significant in this fact here. That for generations, for the millions of our people that had no clue why, if it was going back to the cotton fields, why were they born on nobody? You go back and look at records. Nobody knows what day certain people were born on. They just say it might have been around May, it might have been around August, it might have been around this time or that time, and it might have been around this year. That they were born on whatever plantation or reservation they were born on, given a name, and they lived their lives totally on that plantation or that reservation. And being a part of that reservation or that plantation, they were not taught how to read and write. They were not given the Bible at all. They were given the religion at the end of a whip, the end of a gun, or the threat of being sold off to a different reservation, different plantation, or even going overseas. The first slave trade, just so we get this straight, the first specific the Atlantic slave trade was actually so-called Native Americans going from America over to England, going over to Spain. It wasn't black people. It wasn't so-called niggas coming from Africa, coming over here on the slave ships. The first slave ships went from here after Columbus and Murder Incorporated got here and actually took so-called Native Americans back to Spain, back to Europe as slaves. They were the first ones on the ships. So now, to live your life not knowing why you're living in such horrendous condition, and the only thing you know about God is what these so-called plantation owners gave you, that it was a white Jesus with blonde hair and blue eyes, that's all you had. It's not like you can go and read the Bible and get the truth. It wasn't like you had a choice or an option, that you lived your lives, again, with that 40, maybe 50 years on that plantation, then you died. And how many of our people died with no tombstone? I mean, by the millions. That there was no record, nothing to acknowledge that they was ever on the planet. And for all the, going back to here in the Americas, going back to the KKK raid, or just the raping and the pillaging that the Spaniards brought here to the Americas, the raping of little girls, the raping of little boys, a man having to watch a gang of Klansmen doing whatever they wanted to your daughter, to your wife, and there's no might in your hands. There's nothing you can do about it. And then if they turn to you and decide to rape you, and you're sitting there crying out to who you believe to be God, a God that was taught to you by a slave master, a God that was taught to you by people who really can't stand you. You're calling his name out, whether it be Jesus, Jehovah, or what have you, to come and help you and save you as you're watching your family be decimated. You're watching your son scream out in straight terror and in pain at the terrors that he's going through, that who you were taught and he was forced upon you that this is God and that this is religion and that this is what you're supposed to believe in. And it never helped. It never came through. It never find that scripture real quick. It's in Joel, I believe it is. So they sold a boy for a harlot and girl for wine. We're holding on Colossians. We're definitely holding Colossians.
Joel 3:3, and they have cast lots.
That's it. That's it.
Have given a boy for a harlot.
So, Stephen, I tell you about it, because remember, we're on video.
Oh. Joel 3:3, and they have cast lots for my people.
Casting lots is an auction. That's a slave auction. So it said they have cast lots for God's people. Go ahead.
I've given a boy for an harlot.
And they gave a boy for a harlot. What's a harlot? It's somebody you have sex with. A sex toy. So they gave boys to be sex toys. Boys. They didn't say men. So again, when I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about these images and how horrendous of a life our people had to lead because God was mad at us. God was pissed off at us. God turned his back at us. That you had many of our young men, young boys, given for harlotry, given for sex slaves, sex toys, at just the whim and the pleasure of our so-called slave masters. And there being no justice for centuries. How many of them little boys, as they were being ravaged, were asking God for help? Screaming for God or somebody to come and save them, and there was no saving. As you were ripped from the arms of your parents, and your parents are having to watch you get raped, and there's nothing they can do about it. How many families did this happen to? You know, as being a so-called go-for vet, they talk about PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, for the atrocities that we saw, for the things that we saw or underwent in the Gulf War, in Desert Shield, Desert Storm, that is having long-lasting effects. Desert Shield, Desert Storm was only like 10 months long. Imagine what families have gone through for hundreds of years, facing this same type of cruelty. What kind of mental effects do you think would be left on these people, on us? I said these people, on us, that now you're going to try and talk to me about God? I don't want to hear it. Because the God I was taught allowed little boys to get raped. It allowed mothers to be whatever. Have you ever looked at the torture of tar and feather? To have hot tar poured all over your body. Then they take feathers and douse you in feathers. And sometimes they might light you on fire. But then they would get four horses. Like, I don't know if y'all see the back of the Levi's jeans. They get their little leather patch on the back of the jeans. Mm. And it's got two horses pulling the jeans in either direction. Was it Wrangler? I thought it was Levi's. Wrangler, Levi's, one of them. Big pants. All right, but the retarded feather, they would literally tie each arm, each leg to a different horse. Four horses facing the four different directions. They would, after whipping you with the whip, pour this hot tar all over your body, then throw these feathers all over you, then they would light you on fire. Now, I just sit there screaming. As you're on fire, after you just got finished getting whipped, you get this hot tar in the welts and the cuts and the shreds of skin that's on your body. In laughter, they would slap each horse and pull your body apart at the same time. Kind of like what happened in Waco, Texas, a couple decades ago with a couple decades ago. And down in Jasper, Texas, where they pulled the man behind the truck for humor, for fun. That's something I was doing on a regular. Mm-hmm. Those type of events took place on the regular. If y'all have a chance, I got the book in my bookcase. That was the late 90s. No, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, from the George Floyd to whatever else, this type of thing has been happening with our people with regularity. There's a book called 101 Years of Lynching, and it's all newspaper articles. And you can get a free copy of it online. They got e-books now. If you're not mentally prepared for it, don't do it because it's 101 years of newspaper articles of just the lynchings that took place across America. And in the places you would never think that good old boys got to, they got articles in there from Albuquerque, New Mexico, of people that got lynched. California, Las Vegas, Nebraska. Everywhere you think that it's just good and wholesome and okay, literally. And they go into detail with the accounts that took place. And a couple of articles, they describe the lynching, the mob mentality that took place. They describe the lynching. Then they come back a couple of days later and they show that, yeah, but the man was innocent. But the woman was innocent. And again, in one of the articles, it describes that I remember kind of vividly. It describes they caught this man for supposedly raping a white woman, and they tied him to a telephone pole. And tied him to a telephone pole, they tied him with chains so he couldn't get away. Then they poured tar just over his legs, and then they slow cooked him. They started a fire, and they slow cooked him. And because he was tied with these chains to the pole, his chest and his torso was around at the pole, but literally the flesh around his legs, it fell off to where you can see the bones. You can actually see his skeleton. The supposed husband of the woman who supposedly got raped by this man walked up to this brother. He took a knife and he cut his eyelids off. Then he stood there with cayenne pepper and just kept steadily, after the blood and everything dried, steadily just blowing cayenne pepper into his eye.
Gracious.
You can't even blink. So I don't know which pain would be worse, that you actually sitting there slow burning, roasting to death, or now you got this thing going on. And, you know, every lynching ended with the castration, or there was some type of castration that took place, some type of castration. Now, I'm revealing all these things, not just for the sad part of it. I'm not trying to go there, but for, again, the joy that I have children that are nephews that are second-generation Israelites, that they have a chance to really understand or get a better understanding of, let me say even better, they have the opportunity to learn what pleased the Most High when many generations of our people didn't have a chance, didn't have a clue, wasn't given no type of opportunity. The Most High literally turned his back on our people, and for the things that we suffer for him being so mad at us that we disgusted him so much. If you ever go look up I've spoken about this before, the smallpox virus, on the blankets that was given to the Native Americans. If you're gonna look at those pictures, so again, brace yourself because it makes you want to vomit when you see what the smallpox. Forget chickenpox. Smallpox. Forget about it. When you consider the experiments of the Tuskegee syphilis experiments that took place, when you consider in Guatemala the impregnating of Guatemalan women and forcing abortions on them with no anesthesia, forcing all the modern medical procedures that are now practiced on the regular, that all these things were practiced on Guatemalan women with no anesthesia for hundreds of years, that we consider how much pain and suffering and misery that our people faced and never had a clue and called out to who they was taught supposed to be God. And the anger of if you watched your mother get raped and hung and burnt, if you were a young child and you were ripped screaming from your mother's arms, from your dad's arms, to never see them again, as you were sold off to this city, that plantation, or what have you. Oh, my God. There's another book called Bullwhip Days. Bullwhip Days is actual accounts written from the actual slaves that were freed during the so-called Emancipation Proclamation. And it's written in how they spoke. All right? It's English, but it's written with the heavy slang of how the slaves spoke. And they give accounts of, just for production, how they would make sons have sex with their mothers to get the mothers pregnant just so they can keep their numbers up of slaves. And just how many times this was done on the regular. These are the type of atrocities and things that our people went through, but in going through it, never knowing why, and going through it, never having a chance to, one, read the Bible to find out what's going on, or to even understand what it takes to please God. That these are the things that our people went through. So for our people trying to find some type of peace, trying to find some type of comfort, some type of answers, I'm going to chase every religion out here, because this one, this slave master did this, and this one, this slave master did that. So I'm going to try and find something that I can relate to. And when none of that works, from the drugs, the prostitution, there's no hope. I remember when I first got out of Miami and I was going through the projects of Miami. The people in Miami, literally just sit on the porch, and they're just waiting to die. They just sit there like they were just waiting to die. They've tried everything. Every religion that they said, this will be your salvation. This is going to help you. You join the military. This is going to be your salvation. This is going to help you. Go to an HBU, Historical Black University. This is going to help you. This is the way. Start a business. This is going to help you. This is the way. Find me that scripture, if y'all can, real quick. Hold it, Colossians 1. I want the God set forth us, the apostles, last, as we're appointed to death.
1 Corinthians 4, verse 9.
That's it.
1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. For I think that the Most High has set forth us, the apostles, last.
It says, this is, again, Paul relating to the brothers and sisters here in Corinth, a city called Corinth. And this was the first letter he wrote to them. And he says, I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as if we're appointed to death. That at a point where our people have lost all hope, what religion, money-making scheme, comfort, escape, have we not tried? Be an athlete. That's going to be your escape. Being an entertainer. That's going to be your escape. Just go to work and pay your taxes. That's going to be an escape. Just be a good American. Or be a rebel. From Nat Turner, didn't work. MRVC didn't work. Black Panthers didn't work. Just riot. Just be militant. Just be a revolutionary.
Downtown San Antonio was burned down. It was still, a couple years later, still nothing changed. You just made a crappy
point. What have we not tried? What religion? When you have niggas being Buddhist, what is a nigga doing with a Mongolian knot type of haircut? What the fuck is that? Mongolian beef is pretty good, but I mean, damn, I'm going to take the lines of religion. I'm going to try and get into Buddha with humming. Humming is going to get me out of the situation. Sniffing Nat Champa is the key. Again, to our people, it's just like, I just want to stay numb. So back in the 20s and 30s, it was heroin. Then it went to marijuana was always been around. Then it was just drinking. Then it was cocaine with the Superfly and all that type of stuff. That living the way we've lived, trying everything we've tried, and nothing works for us as a people. We've tried voting. We've tried politics, becoming congressman. Name something we haven't tried besides being Israelites, besides being God's people. Even Kirk Franklin, when his first hit was, GP, are you with me, right? GP, are you with me? Oh, yeah, we got the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, Kirk Franklin?
Yeah, GP.
GP, are you with me? That was one of his first hits, God's people, that put him on the map.
Yeah.
That we've tried everything, but one thing we haven't tried is being Israelite. So for me to be around my nephews and my sons, and for them to be second-generation Israelites, not out of some you're Israelite because of the month you were born in, but actually understanding that we are the blood descendants of the actual people that walked through the Red Sea, the only people that Jesus Christ died for. For my sons and my nephews, didn't grow up with Halloween, didn't grow up with Christmas, didn't grow up with St. Patrick's Day, didn't grow up with Easter, didn't grow up with Sunday worship, didn't grow up with half the things that have polluted our people's minds for the longest. They actually are born on their birth certificates with Hebrew Israelite names. Now, being in the time and age that we're in, it can be kind of difficult for them. And a feeling of, I've missed out. A feeling of, damn, you hid this from me, whatever. But to come back and understand, I said, it could be that. I'm saying it necessarily with y'all, but for second generation Israelites, that the miracle for us to actually know who we are and what it takes to please God and not go with the crowd, not go with the ones that are headed down into destruction, who have don't have a inkling of what's in this Bible, have never been taught. All they have been able to survive off is their instincts. For us to be able to come back now, again, the miracle and the joy that I was really feeling, that we can go to this Bible and get answers on what it takes to please God. Whereas for a couple hundred years, 400 years, 100 years, we've had generations of our own people, our own families, didn't have a clue. It was just really up to whatever they thought, their imagination, whatever they whatever idea, whim, feeling they got, try it. It's not going to be the right way, but go ahead, waste your life trying it. Waste the little time you got on this planet, on this globe, trying to pursue what you think now is the right way, and it's a shot in the dark. You don't know what the F you're doing. For us to be able to come back now and get into this Bible and see Israelites, see God's people, the Israelites, and what and be able to prove we are the Israelites, not by religion, not by a hoax, but actually see we're the Israelites, and then to see how many of our people are waking up at this time. To have second and third and fourth generation Israelites now being born. Whereas my grandfather was a pastor. My grandfather was. Grandmother stayed in church. And my dad's a Sunday school teacher right now. This was hid from him. But that goes with Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Let's go back there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Whoever's got it.
1, verse 25.
Whoever's got it, go ahead.
Whereof I have made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you.
That this dispensation can only come from God. That this knowledge can only come from God. For you. Go ahead.
To fulfill the word of God.
Go ahead.
Even the mystery which has been hid. Ages and from generations.
This mystery has been hid from ages and for generations. How many of our own family members really think they're Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Seventh-day Adventist? They think there's some type of religion, Muslims, Islam, just whatever the hell is out there. Crips, Bloods, Disciples, Latin Kings, and you really think that that's the life? That's really all you have. Ready to die for it. And it's all wrong because this knowledge has been hid for ages and for generations. So all you know is thug life. And you look at the word thug. Thug is an East Indian criminal. Aladdin was a thug because he was a thief. That's a true thug. He was a street rat. Those are considered thugs. East Indian. Haji with the red dot in the forehead. That's a thug. But now niggas are getting tattoos and trying to live the thug life and all that shit. You trying to be East Indian? Because you have no clue who the hell you are. So you're committed to that life. And, you know, I know it's old now, but what's a goon to a goblin? Really? A goon to a goblin. Not that we are God's chosen people. Not that we are the people of the Bible. I'm a beast. I'm a goblin. Nigga, what? Right. I said, I'm old. The gray is real. And now I'm a Martian. And then one of the lyrics now was somebody, I don't need to hear it. No, ain't Kanye talk about this shit? All these different extremes, and if you speak to them, they believe it. They really believe that madness. But the scripture says, this knowledge will be hid for ages and for generations. Go ahead.
But now it's made manifest to the saints.
But now this knowledge will be made manifest to God's saints. So let's come back now and look and see that. We've got second generation Israelites. They had opportunity to learn the truth in the right way and what it takes to actually please God. That really is a blessing. That really is a blessing because I know for a fact my father didn't have the opportunity. My grandfathers never had the opportunity. My mother never had the opportunity. But now my children had the opportunity to actually learn and be Israelites. That is a blessing. For me, let's go to Romans chapter 16, let's start at verse 25. Let's go to Romans chapter 16, verse 25.
Romans chapter 16, verse 25.
Mm-hmm.
Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel.
That now we have a chance to actually be established according to the true gospel, and the word gospel means good news. That now we have a chance. My children have a chance to be established in something real. To be rooted in something real. The scriptures, the truth, not in some religious, some cult type of way, but the actual truth of if you question what your existence is, you question what you're going through, you can actually go to the Bible, go to the scriptures, and actually get established. What's this all for? What's it all about? Why is life like this? Why is this going on? Why is that going on? We can actually go through the scriptures. We can actually go through scripture to see why are people going through what they're going through. And to understand the importance of us waking up, the importance of us teaching others that they're Israelites. And now this is what we got to do as a nation to get up out of here. That now they can be established, not only because somebody had a dream. You know, our people have given themselves so much superstition, they will literally eat chicken bones. And they take the bones and throw them on a plate, a drum, whatever, and read chicken bones. You hear about that? Mm-hmm. The way the bones land on the plate. It means something. Or drink some tea, and however the tea is in the bottom of the cup, that means something. Or a dream, and I had this number in the dream, or this happened. That's supposed to mean something. Getting your palms red. That's the long lifeline. Or that's a lifeline. You see how long yours is? Yeah, that's prosperity, whatever. And we literally live our lives by this madness. Horoscope. You know, you're a Scorpio. Your favorite colors for your color for today is going to be red. Your number is going to be 11, and stay away from Leo rising or some crazy shit like that.
You have your monthly gem higher, so I used to send like that higher. And I realized I might get up.
It's an interesting color. I'm like, I'm much better with red, oranges, darker color.
John, but according to the horoscope, and people literally dictate their lives by these things. But why? Because they have no other answers. They have no other comfort. So, what verse are we in? Can we read it again, please?
Verse 25. Now to him that is...
25 of what chapter, what book?
Romans 16, verse 25.
Okay.
Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel.
According to the God, the good news. We're the Israelites. We really, truly are. That's the good news. And the reason we are here, going through the things we've been going through, because we disappointed God. Because we broke God's commandments. We stopped doing things his way. But now we figure out what we did to make God angry. It's easy to figure out what it takes to make God happy. To get him back on the side of our nation again. Go ahead.
According to the revelation of the mystery, which is kept secret since the world began.
This mystery has been kept secret since the world began. Now, this ain't talking about going, this world here in Romans 16:25, they ain't going all the way back to Adam and Eve. It's talking about this world, talking about this newfound world that when the so-called age of discovery, just like we know that in the dictionary, there's over 14 different definitions for the word world. This world here, again, ain't talking about going all the way back to Adam and Eve. That's what I'm talking about. It's all about this world here in the Americas. To prove that real quick, give me Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. Where was that? Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. The significance of us being in the Americas, the significance of what we're going through, the significance of us waking up right now. And again, to have second and third generation Israelites, for to be second-generation Israelites, we have opportunity to marry other second-generation Israelites. So now you ain't got to fight about, are we celebrating Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, New Year's? That's not even, if you never grew up that way, that's not even got to be an argument. We already have things in common. We already understand the Sabbath. We understand the high holiday, Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Trumpets, Purim, first fruits. This is what we do. We don't eat pork, shrimp, crab, or lobster. We're not dealing with pork, bacon, or anything like that. That to be second and third generation Israelites, your children have a chance. I'm talking about to my nephews and my sons right now. You have a chance that your children can be even greater and more pure than you, and that they're going to be third and fourth generation Israelites growing up in this culture, growing up in this environment. That is amazing. That is a miracle. So where are we at right now?
Hosea chapter 1, verse 10.
Right.
Yet the number of children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea.
He says the number of the children of Israel will be as the sand of the sea. Read.
Which cannot be measured nor numbered.
Read.
This shall come to pass that the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people.
In the place that it was said unto us that we are not God's people. What place in history was that? The Americas. This is the only time in all of history that we were not called God's people. That we weren't known to be the Israelites. Even during the time of Christ, when the Romans was all up and down in Jerusalem ruling, we still knew we were Israelites. We still knew who we were. We still knew our tribes, still knew our land, still knew our language. We still knew we were Israelites. But what place is it that we were not called God's people? Here in the Americas. Now we're Indians. Now we're Negroes, Puerto Ricans. Now we're Africans. Now we're Navajo. Now we're Haitians. Now we're Jamaicans. Now we're Tahino. Now we're Aztecs. Now we're Incas. Now we're Muslims. Now we're the Gentiles. Now we're Shaka Zulu. Now we're indigenous. We're everything under the sun but God's people. This was historic. This is a very historical thing. Reading on.
There shall be unto them.
There, in that same place, man.
There shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God.
You are the sons of the living God. In the same place where it was said that we're not the Israelites. In the same place that we got all these false names and identities and labels and dreams. Now we're finding out in this same place, at this time, we are the children of Israel. And again, that second and third generation Israelites born now that know they're Israelites. If you go into the Bible and prove it, is a miracle. It is a miracle. It's prophecy coming true. It really is prophecy coming true. And this is why this is such a beautiful thing. Let's go back and finish Romans chapter 16 and verse 26.
Romans 16 and verse 26.
Okay.
But now it's made manifest.
But it says, now this mystery is being made manifest. Go ahead.
And by the scriptures. The prophets.
By the scriptures of the prophets. This ain't some dreams. This ain't some business plans. This ain't some tarot cards. This ain't some palm reading. This ain't some throwing the dice. This ain't no drinking some blood. This ain't some we're eating peyote. We're eating some wild mushrooms. We're eating some sniffing some coke. We're on some type of just hallucinogen. We can actually now go into the scriptures and see and prove we're the Israelites. And this is the time we're living. We're living in a time of this great awakening. Go ahead.
According to the commandments of the everlasting God.
According to the commandments of the everlasting God. That God commanded that this was going to happen. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 26, I believe it is.
That one?
Yep.
Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 26. Everybody got it? I said, I would scatter them into corners.
Again, this is going all the way back to Moses. This is right before we came into the promised land. It was going to be prophesied that God was going to scatter us into corners. Go ahead.
I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men.
When did that take place? Here in the Americas. The age of discovery. Colonization. That when Columbus, Merton Incorporated, first got here and called the first people Puerto Ricans, called the first people Costa Rican, called the first people Haitians or Jamaicans or even Indians. At that time, that is when this prophecy was taking place. Then now, the remembrance of us was ceased from among men. Columbus got here in 1492. We're in 2021. How many of our people still don't know who the hell they are? How much of a brainwashing has taken place? Then now we have no, we really believe in rabbits laying eggs, reindeers flying, weed is my comfort, cigarettes, I can't live without my cigarettes. That money is a god. That if you get the money, you get the power, you get the respect. How many people live our lives ready to die for that concept? And the thought of we are the people of the Bible doesn't even brush against their minds. It doesn't even brush one of their thoughts. But again, God said what? I will cause the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Brett?
To cease from among men. Verse 27, were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely.
God said, look, he was going to cause the remembrance of us to cease from among men, but if in understanding our enemies, they would come and really, I mean, it'd be over for us. We see what happened with slavery and what with George Floyd and all the police brutality that's going on to this very day. God said, God feared the enemy, like, our enemies would go too far. We're supposed to be punished, but our enemies would go too far. And they had. Again, that's why Christ had to die for us. That's why Christ had to die for the nation of Israel to make sure we had a way back. Hansel and Gretel with the breadcrumbs. I got to leave y'all some type of way to get back. Because if not, your enemies, please, they don't call themselves you. Now, they're the Jewish people. Now, they're Israelis. Now, they're the Christians. Now, they're the people of the book, and we aren't. So our people are looking for anime, Marvel Universe, some sci-fi world that I wish I had escaped to here. I want to be a Power Ranger. I want to be, I'm going back to whatever, Pokemon or whatever. I don't even know what the hell kids are into these days or whatever. But you'd rather be that than to understand you're the people of the Bible. For our children to be second generation Israelites right now and to be able to prove and know that they're second generation Israelites, that's just because we as their parents said so. But for them to be able to go into the scriptures themselves, to be able to prove and show and teach and help wake up the nation of Israel, to bring the nation of Israel back to God, there is no higher calling. You can't get a higher calling than that. You can't. There is literally no higher calling in the universe than to be one of the people that's been chosen to bring God's people back to him. You're talking about walking in the same steps that Moses walked. You're talking about walking in the same steps Jeremiah walked. You're talking about walking in the same steps that the Maccabees walked. You're talking about walking in the same steps that Hosea, any of the prophets that you read in the Bible, that you have an opportunity to be on track or on path with one of them and doing this thing to be one of God's servants, to bring Israel back to him. There's no higher calling. There is no higher calling than to be one of those, to be in a place of opportunity like we have. Let's get Jeremiah 3 and verse 12. And then after that, we're going to get Amos chapter 8, verse 11. And then we're going to get Amos chapter 8, verse 11.
Jeremiah 3, verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I'll not cause my anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever.
I'm sorry, read one more time.
Jeremiah 3, verse 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north.
And then where do we happen to be at right now? We're in North America. Where can you find all tribes? If you're so-called Asher being so-called Colombian Brazilians, right? They're here. You can find Colombians and Brazilians here in America. Nephtali being from Argentina, you can find them here in America. Zebulon, being any one of the Central American countries, from Guatemala to Panama, you can find any one of those people, those communities, those pockets, here in America. So-called Puerto Ricans, the so-called Jamaicans, the so-called Haitians, the so-called Dominicans, people of Belize. You can find all 12 tribes here in North America. And we think that's coincidence? And they're flocking here. Do we think that's just something in the news and that's just what they got going on, but I got my own business, I got my own thing I'm taking care of? And if that's the thought, you're asleep. Trying to build the wall, trying to keep our people from getting up here. They let all types of European immigrants come all up in America like it ain't no problem. But to let our people be trying to gather together here in America, it's just a problem. They never talk about trying to put a wall between Canada and America. Ever. But now let it be where the gateway from the so-called 9.5 tribes coming up here to where you can find all the rest of the tribes. Now is an issue and a problem, and we think it's just political. We think it's for the safety of America. The safety of America is do not let these Israelites get back together. Don't let them wake up. We got to keep them separate. We got to keep them confused. So read that again. Where was reading?
Don't profane these words. Towards the north.
And again, do we really think this is coincidence that we happen to be in North America and all 12 tribes can be found here in North America?
Now backsliding Israel.
And this is what God is commanding those of us that are waking up. We got to wake up the rest of our people. Return. All the ways you've been going is wrong. Now it's time to do it this way. Now it's time to do it the Lord's way. You've tried everything else. Read.
And I will not cause my anger to fall upon you.
Go ahead.
For I am merciful, saith the Lord.
Read.
I will not keep anger forever.
I'm not going to keep anger forever. Yeah, I turn my back on you. Give me Isaiah 54 and 6. I turn my back on you. Yes, I did. Y'all pissed me off. I did turn my back on you, but I'm not going to keep angry forever. Read that.
And then chapter 54, verse 6. The Lord has called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit.
Yes.
And a wife of youth.
And God says to the Israelites, we're a wife of his youth. Read.
When thou wast refused, says the Most High, for a small moment,
he said, for a small moment, I've forsaken you. Again, when the conquistadors, the Caucasians, first got here to the Americas, God forsook us for a little bit. He was mad at us. We really made him disgusted that we would choose other gods, money, gold, silver. We would choose that over him. We would choose our idea of prosperity over him. It made it, and he's a jealous God. He tells you, I'm a jealous God. And we would flaunt these things in his face like he's tripping. Like, why don't he understand this is what my heart desires? This is what I'm really love. This is how, God, if you want to love me, then give me this. So he said, what verse you want?
Verse 7 now.
Go ahead.
Verse 7.
Read.
For a small moment have I forsaken you.
For a small moment, God, have I forsaken you. Read.
But with great mercy will I gather you.
But he said with great mercies is he gathering us. Remember, the Emancipation Proclamation, that was God's mercy because we're supposed to be like the Israelites were in coming out of Egypt. We should be working the fields as those type of slaves. Up until the time Christ comes. The fact that we can now, you can have some moguls like a P. Diddy, a Oprah Winfrey, a Dr. Dre, a Jay-Z, a Kanye, that you can have this type of wealth and this type of money and have businesses. You can go play some sports or video games. You can get a YouTube star. That is shit. No. We were supposed to be still picking cotton up until the time Christ came. Literally. We were supposed to be still living in huts and shacks. Not six-bedroom houses. Not four or five, eight-bedroom houses. Got a summer home and a winter home and a spring home and a Airbnb or whatever. No.
Not everyone.
I see him on the golf course.
I would be considered by American standards middle class. And go up to the, we work so that people love us. That's it. But that's, I can, people down the street from my house, same type lifestyle, can't tell them the difference no more. There is no yet. You know, I live in the hood, and that's what I'm saying. I love my people, my community. All the time.
Yeah.
You know,
we struggle together. Now, we struggle with it wasn't the same type of struggle. I struggle the same way that's why this country. Now I can connect myself to that man.
Now, me and him are both Republicans. Me and him are both conservatives. Me and him are both liberals. And he's my neighbor. Don't the Bible say love your neighbor? Him and Nugent and Ching Chong. These are my neighbors. Whereas at one point, we were each other's neighbors. Let's keep reading that.
Verse 8. In a little wrath, I hid my face from you
in
for
a
moment.
In a little wrath, God did hide his face from us. Go ahead.
But with middle of verse 8, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, says the Lord, thy Redeemer.
And this is the time we're living in now, that he's now actually letting us know we are the Israelites. This again, is very historic. And now you can't get a higher calling than to be a part of the people that's been chosen to help wake up and bring the Israelites back to their God. The world's trying to stop this. My last switch for tonight, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22. Let's get that. Amos 8 and 11, then 2 Corinthians 11 and 2.
I get Amos 22. 11,
22.
I got Amos 8 and 11. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, days come, says the Lord power, that I will send a famine.
Go ahead and just read it straight.
Behold, the day comes, says the Lord power, that I will send a famine.
Is it says power or says God?
Oh, I'm sorry. Behold, I see what you mean. Behold, the day is come, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord.
That famine, we've experienced that famine. For generations, our people have not been hearing the words of God. They've been hearing people's dreams. They've been hearing about some again, palm reading, some tarot cards. They've been hearing about superstition. They've been hearing about whatever drug-induced hallucinogen that our people might be under. They've been hearing a false education that Columbus discovered America when he never made the shores of America. Jesus is white, Christ, the disciples are white, the people of the Bible are white, Adam is white. We've not been hearing the words of God. We haven't. From pork to other white meat to just do what you like. Have what you like, eat what you like. As long as you hurt nobody, YOLO. We've been hearing this madness for too damn long. Go ahead.
Verse 12. And they shall wander from sea to sea.
And Lord knows we have. We've gone from coast to coast searching for some answers. Like Forrest Gump running in a damn movie, right? We have searched everywhere trying to find God for some answers to what we're going through. Go ahead.
And from the north, even to the east.
All right, from there, I know I call it 2 Corinthians, but before we get that, I do need 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 3. Then we're going to get 2 Corinthians 11, 22. We're going to end it with that.
2 Chronicles 15 and verse 3?
Yeah, 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 3.
Got that, Carl?
Chronicles 15, verse 3. Now for a long season, Israel has been without the true God.
So for a long season, just like we read in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, for a long season, we have been without the true God. That for everything our people have chased for generations, I'm talking about our grandparents, our great-grandparents, our great-great-great-grandparents. Now, before we even got to just the slave plantations, where they were selling and breaking off families, to even to more modern times, the adoptions that we've been going through, growing up in a household where you're, you might have 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different brothers and sisters, each of them got a different dad, but all have the same mom. That this, these have been the lifestyles that we've been living. So it says, for a long season, Israel has been without what?
The true God.
The true God. We've not had the true God. We have every false God that the planet could produce. Go ahead.
And without a teaching priest.
And we've been without what?
A teaching priest.
And we've been without a teaching priest to actually teach us what the scriptures mean and what the scriptures say. We've been without that. We have truly been without that. That's why we call ourselves Baptists, Methodists, Episcopalian. That's why we go to college, we join a fraternity. That's why we even a union, if it's a plumber's union, fireman's union, a laborer's union. We join all the different types of unions or what have you. That we really have been without the true God, without a teaching priest, without somebody to actually teach us what's in this Bible. What is the way of God? We've been without that. So we think it's about pimping. We think it's about the flash. We think it's about the Floyd Money Mayweather type of lifestyle. But we've been without teaching priests. Go ahead.
And without law.
And without God's law. Without the way of, how does God want things done? How should your mind be organized? Not just your diet. Not just your cosmetics, not just your apparel. How should your mind be organized? Go ahead.
Verse 4. When they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel.
But throughout history, whenever we would turn to the Lord, read that again. Read a little bit louder, Kyle. I need some volume.
When they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel.
When we would be in trouble, and we would turn to the Lord, our God, the God of Israel. We would turn back to the Most High. Go ahead.
And sought him.
And we sought him. What does God want? Not is God can give me what I want. God knows what I like. No. We went and searched and studied. What does God want? Read.
He was found out of.
Then it was we could find him. Then we could find him. But it requires somebody to be teaching the truth. Jeremiah 3:15. I call Jeremiah 3 and 12. Give me Jeremiah 3:15 now.
Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.
Now, there's going to be teachers, pastors. They're going to give us God's heart. They're going to teach us how God feels, not how they feel, not what they think is important, but what God finds important. And this is what God's looking for. Who's going to do his will? Who's going to adjust their mind, adjust their attitude, adjust their thoughts to do things the way God wants things done? And he's going to teach Israel how to come back to the Most High. He's going to teach Israel what it takes to please the Most High. This is what the Father's looking for. And with that, 2 Corinthians 11:22.
2 Corinthians 11:22. Are they Hebrews?
So, are the people of the Bible Hebrews? Are they Hebrews? Read.
So am I.
To be able to come back and understand that we are the same people as the people of the Bible. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Read.
Are they Israelites?
Are they Israelites? Read.
So am I.
We are the Hebrew Israelites. That's who we are. Read.
Are they the seed of Abraham?
Are they the seed of Abraham? Read.
So am I.
So am I. So with that, again, I just wanted to briefly hit some of these scriptures up tonight. We only had a little bit of time. I'm going to get ready for the plantation tomorrow. We still in captivity like everybody else. But I want to hit some of the things up. As you know, we're taking the young men over their soldiership, and I'm taking them in a direction that I've taken very few people into, Usually when I teach the soldier sheet, I don't really we learn some chants, and we learn how to memorize. But very few people actually get taught the Bible. They don't really get taught how to teach the soldier sheet. Why are these questions on the soldier sheet? All they get is a lot of people don't even get the questions. That's how bad things have gotten. They don't even get the questions to the soldier sheet. All they get is the soldier sheet and write it over and over and over again, over and over and over again, over and over and over again. And then you take this test, you got an hour to take the test, and all of a sudden, okay, cool, you're a soldier. Now you're officer 50, now you're officer 100. But they really don't know how to teach the information. They really don't know, they don't understand the Bible. Their foundation of the Bible is got holes in it. So as y'all been hearing from the archive shows, if you listen to archive shows, I've been talking for a minute about, we're trying to take some of the young men here into the soldier sheet, to the officer sheet, officer 50 sheet, officer 100, and really trying to give them a foundation, a grounding in why the soldier sheet is there and why you should be able to answer the questions on the soldier sheet, because not only is it that you just know it's on the soldier sheet, you really truly understand as a soldier of Christ, as a soldier of the Most High, you understand how to go into scriptures and prove everything on the soldier sheet. Not just because it's on the soldier sheet. Question number one, how many nations? 18, Yahaga William. We're not going surface like that. We're going to learn, we're going to get into the Hebrew. We're going to get into who the 18 nations are and why. We're going to get into the 12 tribes, how they were born, the order they were born, what their names truly mean, what lands they're really given to, and how to prove all these things in the scriptures, how to prove all these things in the Bibles. Because as a soldier, you should know by now, you should be knowing how to go in the Bible and prove these things, and that's because somebody said so. But actually be able to go in and prove and say, this is what the Bible says. This is what the scripture says. And your foundation, your mind should be molded in how to do this. Not just it's on a piece of paper, just copy the paper, and now you're a soldier. Okay, just copy the paper, now you're officer 50. Okay, just copy the paper, now you're officer 100. That is so shallow. That's too shallow. And maybe I'm being a little bit biased because it is my nephews and my children, but I want to raise up teachers. I want to raise up teaching priests that can teach the Bible, not just what they heard. Because even my teachers say that anybody can be a tape recorder. And that's going to be the case again on Blog Talk. This makes episode 949. Episodes that we have on Blog Talk. If it was just about that, then shit, just go start at episode one and just listen through, or just don't even study the Bible. Just tell somebody to go listen to episode one, then episode two, then episode three, all the way to they get to episode 949, and they'll know what you know. That's shallow. That's shallow. You should be able to have a true, full, grounded understanding of how to put scripture together.
They say, read this textbook, and you should be at the steady level of somebody in whatever field you're in, at their level of understanding textbook. They prove the teachers actually know the information on the textbook, teach it, show you the key points of what's important to learn, make better books. They actually, people learn what they need to know. It's important to know for whatever situation they have to deal with. Not, yes, everything in the textbook is important, but you don't need to know for every situation you're going to encounter. Certain situations don't need every information.
And then, agree with that, Cotton. Agree 100% with you. That's why a lot of people cannot stand the standardized testing, like the STAR test in Texas. That the teachers only teach what's going to be on the test. Because that's how they get their money. That's how that school gets its funding. But how many people pass the STAR test? So it's not that you're actually learning the information. You're just learning what's going to be on the STAR test and how to pass the STAR test. You're actually learning the information, learning what a fourth grader should know, what a fifth grader should know, what a sixth grader should know. And if you already know, if you know the information, then this test should be easy. But they don't give you the information. They do, this is going to be the test. This is going to be the test. No, it's on the test. This is going to be the test. No, it's on the test. Memorize this for the test. But to actually get an understanding. One of my teachers said this. You know you understand something if you teach somebody else. This is why we tell young men, you need to get a rib. You need to get a young lady, a wife. Because when you can teach her, had to work with her mind on how to see this, work with her mind on how to get her understanding, how to get her from her mind from here to here, now you're teaching. Now I get what this is about. And it's not going to be because you just went over some information. It ain't going to be just because you read this line of scripture and see, she should have it. What are you talking? No. You haven't opened her mind up at all. You haven't gotten into her mind and untwisted and unraveled all that confusion that's there. You threw some scripture. It's like you threw some scripture at a wall and hope something stuck. No. That's not teaching. That's not teaching. Not for the depths of that our minds have been erased. So with that, again, thank you everybody for tuning in, whether it's tonight or with one of the archive shows. We do appreciate it. Appreciate you. And please, go ahead and check out the YouTube channels, ISBHBK Houston, Norfolk, Rochester, The Light of Zion, the Watchmen of Israel, Believers of the Way, True Nation, even IUIC, HOI is pretty good. Sakari, I forgot them. You want to check out Sakari. Deacon Sakari, the debates that these young men get into and the way they demolish so-called scholars, fantastic. And it's not on that old speaking way that we used to do things. They really go in their scriptures and on a high academic, great vocabulary, but still us way of doing things. Please go check them out. Urban Gorilla, Deacon Sakari, again, Believers in the Way, the Watchman for Israel. That brother, Ratiza, good Lord, his precepts are ridiculous. And the brother got to be 24, 25. Amazing. I mean, amazing. The brother from Believers of the Way, another young brother out there in Los Angeles. Precept game is too sharp. So with that, I'm going to say shalom, and please tune in. Keep studying. Shalom.
Shalom.